Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, a big Packers victory Sunday at Lambeau Field, 38-10 over the Seattle Seahawks. Green Bay's best performance of the season against one of the best teams they played all season when they absolutely had to have it. And the Packers are right in the thick of this thing.
Clay Matthews said this in the locker room, too. He's like, that's probably the most satisfying part of this victory. Offense, defense, special teams, all three units, probably their best season, best performance they've had of the season. And to get it at this point in time, you know, they didn't. A lot of people, I don't think, gave the Packers a chance to win this game. I know they came in as an underdog at home, which I don't know how many times that's happened in the last 25 years. And the guys realize that. And you look at the defense, six turnovers, being able to get career-high five interceptions off of Russell Wilson. And on the other side of the field, Aaron Rodgers, there's really not much more you can say about him. Third play of the game, injures his calf on that 66-yard pass, touchdown pass to Davante Adams, and plays lights out the rest of the way. This offense, this defense, it looks like they're starting to get where they need to be at exactly the right time of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And it was great to see the Packers sort of flip that script in terms of early in the game. We saw earlier this year the kickoff return to start the game against Indianapolis, the long run by the Tennessee Titans. The Packers are the ones that throw the first punch in a big game here against Seattle with the 66-yard touchdown on the third play of the game. And things really just rolled from there. The Seahawks put together a nice drive, countering it coming back, but the Packers got the stop in the red zone, forced the field goal, and from there, Green Bay was simply in control.
They were, Mike, and you look at the rest of that first half, Morgan Burnett gets an interception. When it looks like Seattle might have a chance to double up right before halftime, then getting the ball coming out of the second half, well, you have Demaryius Randle get the interception deep in Packers territory. Then you come out in the second half, and then Quentin Rollins gets an interception in the end zone. So taking away those potential scoring drives, whether it was going to be a field goal, touchdown, whatever it might be, and really turning that, I thought that was the biggest key to this victory, in addition to offensively getting off to a remarkable start, fast start. And as we've heard Aaron Rodgers and some of these receivers say before, when you give the defense a lead, something just changes. There's just something different about Dom Capers' unit. And in the games in which the Packers have been able to get off to that quick start, it seems like everything just snowballs for both of those units.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a game where everything went hand in hand. The Packers get five interceptions on defense, the worst game statistically in that respect of Russell Wilson's career. A couple of those interceptions bouncing off his receiver's hands. The Packers are there to grab the deflections. One of them was even a deflection off Ladarius Gunter's back or his shoulder pad there in the end zone. And Quentin Rollins is the Johnny on the spot guy. But also, the offense taking advantage of short fields and turning, I believe it was three of those interceptions into touchdowns. I think the Packers' only touchdown drive of the game that was longer than 50 yards was the opening drive. After that, it was about the defense either with a three and out and a quick punt or a turnover setting up a short field. This is exactly how you gain control of a game and dominate a good team. And let's face it, the Packers definitely did dominate the Seahawks. This is a Seattle team that will be in the playoffs. And I think walking away or getting on the plane for the long flight back to Seattle, it's a Seattle team that wouldn't mind seeing this Packer team again out in Seattle and try to get a little revenge.
Yeah, and that works both ways, by the way.
Yeah.
I think the Packers have some bad memories the last time they were at CenturyLink that I'm sure they'd like to exercise. But the thing that really stands out to me, Mike, six times the Packers started in Seattle territory in this game, winning the field position battle with both the punting, but then also the turnovers. Seattle also goes for it at its own 39. I think that was in the start of the fourth quarter. Doesn't get it. Clay Matthews was dealing with the shoulder injury. He was limited. Jake Ryan's dealing with the ankle injury. Nick Perry doesn't play in this game, but you have Dean Lowry, Jayrone Elliott, Dayton Jones gets his first sack of the season. Offensively, you look at, you know, Ty Montgomery taking the reins of the backfield. This is the type of performance you need in December. You need to get that kind of showing from your secondary, your reserve-type players. Jordy Nelson's great. Aaron Rodgers is great. Clay Matthews, you want to see them make plays, but when the guys, the complimentary guys, are making those big plays too. That's what makes you a playoff team.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy talked about it right after the game. He said the most important thing with this team is that it's still improving in December. They're driving towards playing their best football. Yesterday's Sunday's game was the best performance of the season. But Mike McCarthy sees this as a team that continues to improve. That's what happens when you play young guys. Yes, they're going to take their lumps, you know, along the way. But the idea is to get them playing their best football late in the year. And hopefully now the Packers can continue this push and get in the playoffs.
And we were talking about them building this confidence over the last two games with the performance in Philadelphia. You beat Houston when you come back to Lambeau Field. If there was any question about whether or not the Packers were intimidated by a team like Seattle that has the winning record that it does and leading the division, I think that was answered right off the bat. I mean, they came out and they matched the intensity. They matched the physicality of the Seahawks. And in the end, it boiled down to that elusive number 7 victory of the season that we've heard Mike McCarthy talking about. Number 5, number 6, number 7. And that run continues for them.
Yeah, for sure. And we've got plenty more to break down from this big victory at Lambeau Field. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, let's just lay it out there right now exactly where the Packers are and what the situation is. Still appears that the division championship is a more realistic goal right now than the wild card, with the Redskins winning, the Falcons winning, the Buccaneers winning, the Giants winning, everything pointing to the wild card being maybe the tougher road to try to snag. But as far as winning the division championship, it boils down to this. If the Packers win their next two games over the Bears and the Vikings, and if the Lions lose one to either the Giants or the Cowboys, the Week 17 game at Ford Field between the Packers and the Lions will be for the NFC North title.
And that's what the Packers have been asking for. That's what they wanted. When they were talking about, you know, with their backs being against the wall, trying to make that rally back from the 4-6 record, they just wanted a chance. They wanted to put themselves in position to be in the playoffs. And if you can potentially win 5 in a row and make that an NFC North championship game at Ford Field, we've seen that work in the Packers' favor before. Now, it was against the Lions that they beat them. I believe it was at Lambeau Field.
Yes.
The year that they won it. But, I mean, they've shown. I mean, this is a team that can win on the road. They did it in 13 against Chicago.
Chicago, yep.
No one will ever forget that catch by Randall Cobb to get him into the playoffs and what was really an even more challenging year than what this season has been. So this is what they've asked for. But I thought it was really poignant, too, that Aaron Rodgers afterwards, I know, and you wrote about it on Packers.com, was kind of asked about that run the table comment. And he said, you know, at that point in time, he just wanted to make that statement. You know what? I still have confidence in these guys. I need to verbalize that confidence in this team. And these guys have responded to it. And I heard a lot of guys in that locker room afterwards saying that when your quarterback comes out and says that, you have to match that.
Yep.
And the Packers have done that over the last three games.
Yeah, and the leadership has been there from Mike McCarthy as well. There were a lot of people questioning what was going on, a four-game losing streak. Mike McCarthy said, hey, I'm a highly successful NFL coach. We're working at this. I have confidence in this group. This is a fun bunch to coach. His players came to his defense on social media and whatnot and said, yeah, that's the guy we're behind.
Right.
He's our leader. There's always been belief within the confines of this building, you know, downstairs in that locker room, in the coaches' offices, that this team was capable of playing like this. Now, it took a lot longer than maybe the fans would have liked. It took a lot longer than they would have liked. They wanted to get to this point sooner. But with all the injuries that they dealt with, Eddie Lacy and the cornerback, Sam Shields and Demaryius Randall, and losing the key players at times that they did, The Packers team right now in December, this is not what Mike McCarthy envisioned.
No.
This is not the team that he was trying to build all through training camp. It was a complete reset. And now, fortunately, they got things turned around soon enough that they still have a shot.
Absolutely. And that's the thing I love, too, is that, you know, McCarthy took a little bit of heat from the outside media, whatever scrutiny you want to call it, when he made those comments. But it's so funny to me that sometimes when someone expresses confidence, how quickly that can be misconstrued as arrogance. And I thought that that was an important thing that McCarthy said on that day when he said, I'm a highly successful football coach, because he can go up there and say, okay, I won a Super Bowl. I have this many wins above 500 in my time in Green Bay. All those things are statistically accurate.
Right.
Those things are difficult to achieve. So it's not like this is a guy that just walked in here and was like, okay, this is how we're going to run a football team. They've done this for a decade.
Yeah.
And now they're in a position once again to make the playoffs. I think you also, like I said from that day, I remember writing that story for our website, with Rodgers and McCarthy, they both kind of rallied behind that idea that we still have a lot of football ahead of us. Things haven't gone the way we wanted to, but we can pull out of this. And looking at Aaron Rodgers over these last four games now specifically, I think he has like 125 passer rating, yeah, playing some of the best football of his career, leading the NFL right now with 32 touchdown passes. The quarterback has been on point.
Yeah. One of the lines that also sticks out to me about McCarthy, a line that maybe didn't get as much attention as him defending his own record and whatnot, but he said, and he said it a couple of times, if you keep doing things right, I believe the results are going to come. And he believed that the preparation, and even during the four-game losing streak, the way this team was going about its business, the way it was preparing to play games and getting ready to play, yes, the results on Sunday weren't there for about a month, but he believed in the process. He believes in the culture that he's created here. And now we've seen it flip around. It's the young players who were playing earlier in the year are better for some of the lumps that they've taken. Some of the veteran guys now have gotten healthy. They've made plenty of adjustments on offense with Ty Montgomery, with Davante Adams, with all kinds of situations there, and still dealing with injuries with Aaron Rodgers now, and that requires adjustments on offense. But it's coming together. It certainly came together against Seattle, but this can't be the peak. There's still three games left here in the regular season, all division games. They have to keep rolling.
Absolutely. And the one thing that is nice, too, and we've discussed that before as well, is when you look at the Packers, the one thing they will never do is regress throughout a course of a season. Not with the draft and develop philosophy. They're only going to get better. Your young guys, that talent, that ability is only going to get better when you add in more experience. And I think specifically you look at that secondary that we talked about that had five interceptions, Quentin Rollins getting his first pick of the year, Demaryius Randall getting two interceptions, I thought was really important. Both of those guys missed a pretty significant amount of time with groin injuries.
Yep.
That cornerback group that was a strength coming into this year, we're starting to see again why everybody was so high on it. A great performance by them. You look at the pass rush, being able to get pressure on Wilson was paramount, but finally getting those balls to bounce your way too. When you talk about those young players stepping up and learning over the course of a season, I think that's best really embodied with that cornerback group right now and what they've done.
Yeah, you're going to have some regression at stages when you're dealing with injuries, but then once those young guys play and get experience and whatnot, then you expect to see the progress, and that's what we're seeing right now with the Packers. Hopefully they can keep it going. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, as we continue to talk about the Packers offense, Aaron Rodgers, unfortunately, not getting any healthier, now dealing with a calf injury as well as a hamstring injury. It's the opposite calf from the one that he injured 2 years ago, but yet he sort of confessed that he might have injured it because it's the opposite leg from the hamstring, so he might have been trying to compensate and whatnot as he deals with this. But third play of the game, he injures the calf, and what does he do? He goes out and puts up a 150-plus passer rating, his highest since the middle of the 2014 season when he won his second MVP award. And the Packers are making adjustments on offense, but Rodgers said it in his post-game press conference. This offensive line, the way it's playing in front of him, I mean, boy, that Seattle defensive front is no slouch of a defensive front. And he had, without doing all the scrambling that we've seen from earlier in the year, Aaron Rodgers still had plenty of time to make plays.
Yeah, I really like the moves the Packers made. When you look at their offseason last year, there were some important things they did. Getting Crosby back, they re-signed Mike Daniels before the season. But I thought with their offensive line, it was a really important offseason. They really looked at Lane Taylor as a guy that they could potentially build around for the future. He was a restricted free agent. All they had to do was offer him a tender. They ended up giving him a 2-year contract. They draft Jason Spriggs. they gave themselves a lot of depth at that position, and they've kind of benefited from it throughout the course of the season. They've had their two bookends, David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, probably both having the best years of their career. But you see TJ Lang come back in after Spriggs had filled in his spot at right guard for a few weeks. Corey Lindsley's filling in, or however you want to look at that issue at center,
right,
since J.C. Treader's been out with the knee injury. They've had a lot of mixing and matching there, but yet they've still endured. I thought that said a lot about Lang, too, to return after missing three games, a broken foot that was probably supposed to sideline him anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, and he's back out there. Said he really didn't feel too much discomfort other than, of course, the one shot he took from Cliff Averill.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with his foot. that was in a different part of the anatomy. But yeah, Rodgers can't say enough about those guys in front of him. He's been, you know, using a lot of the same words over the last several weeks. Bakhtiari is the rock at left tackle. Bulaga is so consistent at right tackle. TJ Lang is a warrior at right guard. Lane Taylor, not the question mark that everybody outside thought that he would be, and then Lindsley is your second full-fledged starter at center, and this is a group that has really come together. As we've talked about, they've rolled with the punches. They've been the foundation of this offense, as so much stuff has changed around them with the injuries, with personnel packages, and who's going to run the ball, and this and that. That's the unit that has been the foundation of the offense, and I think it's one of the biggest reasons that Rodgers and McCarthy believed all along that this offense was going to get going, because the foundation in the trenches was there all along.
Yeah, and you watch a lot of games around the NFL. There's a lot of guys coming free. Offensive line is not an easy position to play. Quarterbacks are taking hits, and a lot of times that turns into not only negative yardage plays, but turnovers. When Rodgers plays the way that he wants to play, extending things downfield, trying to find an open guy, really increasing the potential for a big play, that's paramount for the offensive line to hold their ground. I think that somewhere around three and a half seconds has been the average time that he's been able to have throw the ball this year. That's an hour in the
NFL. Remarkable. Yep.
So for them to do that's great. Now you're seeing the things happen downfield. Davante Adams has his fourth 100-yard performance of the season.
Yep.
Jordy Nelson, another 2-touchdown performance. It starts in the offensive line in the front, which is also getting used to playing with some different running backs, too. But you just see that's kind of blossoms with the rest of that offense and turns into a lot of production.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Jordy Nelson's 2 touchdowns, and I want to get to that in our next segment and talk about him a little more. But first, let's take care of some sponsor business. Wes, we all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, getting back to Jordy Nelson, he gets 2 touchdown receptions yesterday, now has 12 on the season, and some milestones here for the veteran wide receiver. First, he eclipses 7,000 career receiving yards, only the fifth player in Packers history to do that. He and Aaron Rodgers now have 57 touchdowns together, which ties the franchise record for a duo with Brett Favre and Antonio Freeman, who also had 57. And then with the 12 touchdowns, he now has 3 seasons in his career with 12 or more. The only other player in franchise history to do that is Sterling Sharp. So Jordy Nelson, in a season coming back off of a devastating knee injury that cost him all of 2015, we've talked about maybe he's making a run at comeback player of the year, but he's also plastering his name in more places in the Packers record book in the process.
Yeah, Mike, and this is, 75 catches this season, I think 913 yards, as you mentioned, 12 touchdowns. For a guy at 31 years old to jump back on the field and play the way he has, I think says a lot about Jordy Nelson, what he put into this and what it meant to him to come back and still play at an exceptionally high level. He's a perfect fantasy football player out there. because either he's getting some big yard games or he's getting touchdowns. And I think you've seen, you know, last year there were some issues with the red zone in terms of the Packers being productive down there. Nelson, a 9-yard catch for a touchdown, a 3-yard catch for a touchdown. The trust that him and Rodgers have and the sixth sense that they've developed in those, you know, 8-9 seasons together is really unparalleled. And for him to play at this level, it's been huge for the offense. I think a lot of times we did say last year, and credit to James Jones and credit to a lot of guys how they stepped up, but this offense is different when Jordy Nelson's on the field, and this season is proving that.
Yeah, there's no question. The chemistry between Rodgers and Nelson, as you mentioned, is really amazing to watch, and Rodgers talked about it afterwards. I think I didn't get a close look at the replay, but I saw some emails from fans who were saying that on the second touchdown, a little bit of an extended play, a little bit of a broken play, as Nelson sort of is making his break back toward, from the back of the end zone towards the pylon, he's actually pointing and telling Rodgers where to throw the ball, and Rodgers loved that. I mean, you know, and that's the connection that these guys have. They can trust each other to that extent. Rodgers knows that if Nelson is pointing to a spot, that if he throws it there, it's a perfectly safe throw, first of all, and a great chance for a big play.
Yeah, and that's that where that kind of pseudo tight end sort of body type comes into effect. 6'3", almost 220 pounds. He's able to kind of block out that defender. And it, I mean, that's the biggest thing, is he was pointing to the pylon because that was the area in which the defender was to his back.
Right.
It was an easy touchdown once Rodgers got it there with how pinpoint accurate he is.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that those two guys can do together. And it opens up everything for this offense. You see how it can really have a domino effect throughout this receiving core. To have him back on the field, I think, has really been invaluable for this group.
Yeah, this receiving core, as we've talked about, you know, trading off, everybody seems to have a big day here or there. Nobody gets too forgotten for too long with this group. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.